I don't know, somewhere around 4 o'clock yesterday morning, from sleep, and I just heard this. It's faith, not works, that pleases me. And so I've been thinking about that all day yesterday and this morning. And so I want to talk to you about what pleases God. What pleases God? It's amazing how people wear themselves out, so to speak, just doing this, doing that, and going through all types of antics trying to please God. And you know, my background and all, being Pentecostal, back then it was all this legalistic stuff and how you wore your hair and what you did or didn't wear and all this type stuff, and doing all these things to supposedly get the favor of God or whatever. And I saw really very little faith involved in all that, just a lot of works. And I came to the conclusion that you can't do enough works, you can't be good enough, and basically I just got out of church altogether, because that type of stuff turns you off. And the truth of the matter is, you can't do enough to please God. So go ahead and get that settled right now. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to look at verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated. He did not see death. He was not found because God translated him." Now, I've purposely said it the way I said it because King James added a whole lot of words to it that's not in the manuscript. It said God had translated him, but before this his translation, he had this witness or this testimony. He pleased God. And then verse 11, the conjunction, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him." That tells me Enoch was a man of faith. You understand? All that's written together. He says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is." In other words, you must believe that God exists. You must believe that God is God. And that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So then, it appears to me that the thing that pleases God is what gets the least attention. And in the modern day church world, in the early church world, even when Jesus came on the scene, it was all about works. It was all about performance. Do this, do this. Keep all these laws. Do all these regulations. And when Jesus came on the scene and started revealing what it takes to please God, just started operating, demonstrating faith, it upset the religious order. And I promise you that it'll upset the religious order today, because when you start talking about faith is what pleases God, not your performance, people just go crazy. What do you mean it's not your performance? You have to do this, 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 this. I'm not telling you to sin. I'm not telling you not to work. I am not minimizing works. I'm emphasizing faith. And there is a world of difference between the two. You understand? Because if you're just working to work, you're spinning your wheels and you're not going anywhere. And, you know, the Bible characters that we so often talk about and actually look up to, every one of them lived by faith. And you go to that 11th chapter of Hebrews and you start reading them, starting with Abel, and you just go down the line of all these people, and what's emphasized was not their works, but their faith, and they did what they did because of what they believed. Do you do what you do because of what you believe, or do you just do what you do because you think that's what should be done? And you see, that's where most church people are today. Yet Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Actually, if you look at that in the Greek, it says, so then faith comes by hearing God speak. But how many people are listening to God? You understand? That tells me that all these people in the Bible, they were listening to God. They're hearing God. They're not just acting presumptuously, doing this or doing that, but they're getting instruction before they go into action. How many people today in the church world get instruction before they go into action, or do they just act and try to please God just by what we do? If I perform well, God will like me. If I don't perform well, God won't like me. And see, that's been the mentality. That's how I grew up. And so I just came to the conclusion God didn't like me because I wasn't doing a whole lot good, you understand? Not understanding that He wanted me to believe in Him. And if I get my believing right, I get my doing right. But we're trying to get the doing without the believing. And God's wanting this thing put in proper perspective. So, generally speaking, Christians today place their attention on performance, not hearing. I don't know that I ever sat in a church service and they put the emphasis on me hearing God. It was always doing, 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 doing. Well, the Bible has something to say about that performance without faith. Faith without works is dead. But now listen to this. Works without faith is death. As a matter of fact, the 6th chapter of Hebrews, he talks about repentance from dead works. And that's what the Jews were doing when Jesus came on earth. They were going through all the motions. They were doing all the things. They were fulfilling this law, or doing this law, that law. But they were just doing it to do it. No faith involved. God's wanting us to get our faith active. It's faith, not works, that pleases God. And I'll promise you, if you get your faith right, your works will not diminish. But you need to get your faith right to where our works will be right. And so here again, I reiterate, I'm not saying just sit down and kiss the rah, rah, don't do anything, let God do it all. No, we have responsibility. But what I do should be because of what I've heard. You with me? It's amazing to me how many preachers over the years that I've heard say, well, I'm going to go over here and do this, this, and this, and if it works, that's God. No, it's not. Now, my contention with that is, why don't you hear before you move? Get your direction from God before you go over here. All you're doing is testing the waters to see if it works. You're experimenting. God doesn't try anything. You understand, everything God does, it works. He's not testing anything. He's already proven it on the inside before He manifests it on the outside. And He's wanting us to do the same thing. So our works should be motivated by faith. And it works like this. Hear, then obey what you hear. If you obey what you hear, you will not be laying around doing nothing. You will be working. You with me? It's just like with the messages, you know, how many preachers just prepare a message? You know, we just come up with something, you know, starting Monday trying to figure out what we're going to do Sunday and all this type thing. Why not get before God and let God talk to you and then do what God says to do? Hear, obey. That's how our lives are to be ordered. Works must never be a substitute for faith. But so often people think, well, if I'll do the works, you know, I get the favor of God. I don't have to believe. I'll just wish and hope. And you start talking to people and asking them, you know, is God pleased with your life? Well, I hope so. If you were to drop dead right now, would you be in the presence of the Lord? Well, I hope so. Well, that's not going to get it. There has to be a no-so. Faith goes beyond just a believing. Faith is convinced. It is persuaded. Actually, if you look at the Greek definition of faith, it's persuasion. You're persuaded. You're not just hoping it's going to work. You know it's going to work. God can't fail. And so if God says it and you act on what God says, it has to be a winner. whether it appears that way to flesh is irrelevant, but you can't go wrong doing right. And I want you to think about these various Bible characters, and I didn't try to exhaust it. These were just some names that were coming to me quickly. For instance, Enoch, which we mentioned as we opened up. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. We don't know a lot about Enoch. In other words, what little bit you know about him is right there in Genesis, and then you'll catch something in Hebrews, and then if you go over to Jude, we do know that he prophesied. Okay? But there's very little we know about him except that he was one who pleased God to the point that he just walked right out of here. You understand? He did not die. He was translated, walked into the presence of God, a man living by faith, a man walking in the Spirit. Now, let me explain this. He's living from the inside rather than the outside. And I can tell you this, that three generations later, God destroyed the earth because it was so wicked. So it wasn't like Enoch was in a cocoon where everything was going okay. He was living by faith in the midst of an ungodly society. So don't say it can't be done. He did it. You with me? And so it's by faith that he walked with God and was not. Then look at Noah. We talk about Noah building the ark, but why did Noah build the ark? Let me tell you something. It took faith to build an ark. And number one, I mean, you think about this. Here, you're just going to build this big, huge boat on dry land? And you're going to be the laughing stock of the community? What are you building? An ark? What's that? Well, that's going to be something that keeps us from the flood. Well, what's that? I mean, you follow me? So it's by faith he did that, but being moved with faith, he built it. You know he'd never built an ark before? But he heard God. God gave him the dimensions. God gave him the blueprint, and he just followed God's blueprint and built this ark that preserved humanity. You know, he saved his family, and that's how the rest of the world got populated. You with me? Or the remaining world after the flood. But it was faith that built the ark. We can put our attention on building the ark and look at all these dimensions and go through all these studies like they're doing right now on the ark. That ark came in existence because God said, build it. And God told him how to build it by giving him the dimensions. He heard, he obeyed. Then look at Abraham. We talk about Abraham, he's actually called the father of faith. But here man is living in the Ur of the Chaldees, you know, in a heathen country, and God speaks to him and he says, I want you to get up and leave everything that's familiar to you and go. I'll just tell you as you go. He didn't say, go over here. He just said, get up and leave. Well, that would take faith, don't you think? Of course it would. And he would go from one place to another place. Why? Because he's hearing God. He has a communication with God. I don't believe we grasp the communication that Abraham had with God. How many of you would just hear and say, well, I'm going to go up here and kill my son and sacrifice him, and God's going to raise him from the dead? Or would believe prior to that a 90-year-old woman, a 100-year-old man is going to have a baby. That takes some faith. You with me? He heard God and he wouldn't move from God. He changed his name because God said so. So faith motivated these men to do what they did. And then if you think about Moses, here's a guy that actually left Egypt to keep from getting killed. And 40 years later, God says, all right, I want you to go back and I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt. Now, we know that Moses didn't just say, yeah, I believe I'll do that. He argued with God a little bit, right? He heard God, but he started looking at his inadequacies. Don't we do the same thing so often? God speaks, and yet we want to look at our inadequacies. God says, do this, and we say, I can't. I'm not eloquent of speech. You know, I don't have the skills. I don't have this. I don't have that. God said, who made your mouth? You got your attention on you. Get your attention on the Creator. Get your attention on the one speaking to you. And finally, after several events there, we, you know, with the throwing the rod on the ground and it becoming a snake, and then picking it back up, it becoming a rod, sticking his hand in his bosom, and all these type things. Finally, Moses was convinced to go, and by faith, he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Unprecedented. A nation's going to release another nation? A nation birthed out of a nation? A forerunner. But he did it by faith. And you understand, he was leading a bunch of renegades that murmured against him many times, and, you know, even thought about killing him. How would you like to lead people like that? But he did it by faith. God said, he kept his ear to God. He led that nation and gave that nation the Constitution because God gave it to him, not because Moses sat down and tried to figure out, you know, what it would take to govern a nation. God spoke all these things to him. Then if you think about all the various prophets of the Bible, you know, here's men that God speaks to them, and they speak to the kings, or they speak to nations, to whomever. Some of them, it cost them their life, but they were so sold out to God that they'd rather obey God and die than not obey God and live. Where are we? And you think about it. They pleased God. And you look at all these prophecies that, for instance, with Isaiah, all the messianic prophecies and all this. He didn't know what he was saying. You realize that? As a matter of fact, I think as Paul in his writing said, the prophets would have liked to have understood these things that you guys are seeing now. What did they do? They heard, they wrote, they just believed God spoke and they obeyed God. And many of them were viewed as being eccentric. God told Isaiah, you know, go naked barefoot. I bet you better hear God. But if you heard God, could you do that? A sign to the nation of what was going to happen when they went into captivity. But he believed God. You understand? It was his faith that pleased God. Look at Jeremiah. Look at Ezekiel. I mean, you can go through all these. These guys did what they did because of what they heard. They heard first. The faith came. And then there was just a corresponding action to the faith. They're not trying to perform to please God. And then look at Jesus. Everything he did was because of what he saw and heard his Father do. He never operated independently of Father God. And boy, did he upset the apple cart. You understand? But look at the results he got. And it amazes me. You would think that after seeing miracles like all these healings and the various miracles, raising the dead and turning water into wine, all these type things, feeding multitudes with just a few fish and loaves of bread, you would think that people would say, hey, there's something to this. But they're so caught up in the performance of law that they refuse to believe the Son of God. Do you know what our work is? Believe on the one whom God sent. Our work is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Paul. Paul did what he did because of what he heard. You understand? And when you start looking at these people, their lives wasn't like a bed of roses. They're not just tiptoeing through tulips, you understand. They're facing some extremely difficult circumstances. Jesus came to earth to die. By faith, he went to the cross. By faith, he said, 3 days, 3 nights, I'm coming out. I'll be in the heart of the earth. You can't take my life. My life's mine. I'll lay it down. I'll pick it up. Why? He had that from the Father. And so here Paul is following suit. Now, Paul's an interesting guy because when he was Saul of Tarsus, he is a zealot for the law. Everything's by work. He's out working against God until he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it is amazing how his life turned immediately because of what he heard Jesus speak to him. And then Ananias praying for him. And now he begins promoting faith where before he was promoting works. You had to do this, you had to do this. Now he is teaching people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't it get him in prison? It would get him beaten. It got him stoned because he was saying, you don't have to have work. You don't have to be circumcised to be born again. Let me tell you, that upset the apple cart with the Jews. But why could he say that? Because he had revelation from God. He heard. You think of what we know about redemption, Paul wrote. He heard and he documented it. Thank God that these men wrote what God said to them so you and I could benefit from it today. Now you could go on and on with the various Bible characters, but what they did, they operated in faith, the apostles of Jesus. This, and think about this, and I'm talking about what we'd commonly call the disciples. Jesus sends them out, and I want you to go out in my name, and I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. This was before the Holy Spirit's given, you understand? You just go out and operate in the authority of my name. Later on, he sent 70 out. And they come back rejoicing in the results they're getting from the name. Now, how are they getting the results? How are they doing this work? By faith. What they hear. It's faith that pleases God. And yet God speaks to us and we want to bow our back. Well, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't say this. I can't say that. What would they think of me? I've had these things going on in me. You understand? I've had to struggle with all these things over the years, and you have to just die to yourself and get rid of image and all this type thing and obey God. The things done by all these people that we mentioned were done because of their faith. Not one of them was trying to please God with works. They heard, they obeyed. Isn't that what you'd like for your children to do? Hear and obey. Just do what they do because they believe that what you say is right. That's basically what God is. He would like for us to do what He says because it is right. And it's always in our best interest to do that. Now, think of this. Going back to these characters, and you can relate who fits where, okay? Faith walked with God. Faith built an ark. Faith produced a son. Faith delivered a nation. Faith spoke prophetic words. Faith left secular work to follow Jesus and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith carried the gospel to the Gentiles when Jews didn't have anything to do with Gentiles. Faith healed the sick. Faith raised the dead. Faith cast out devils. And I could go on and on and on. But these people did what they did because of faith. Let me just go back to taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Here Peter is sitting up on the rooftop waiting to eat lunch, and all of a sudden he falls into this trance and he has this vision, and God showed him all these unclean animals and all that, and Jews only eat the kosher stuff, you understand? And God said, Peter, get up and kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Nothing unclean's ever crossed these lips. 3 times that was done. And Peter was still thinking about what this meant. And then the Spirit of God spoke to him, and he said, there's three men looking for you. Go with them. Don't ask anything. Just go with them. And so he goes to the Gentile's house, Cornelius. Jews don't go to Gentile's houses. They don't eat with Gentiles. And so he goes down and he preaches the gospel, and while he's preaching, the Spirit of God falls on them like a day of Pentecost, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what happens? His good friend, the Jews, call him on the carpet. What are you doing going to the Gentiles, Steve? Why are you mingling with the Gentiles? You understand it took faith to go into that, because he knew the repercussions from that. And I promise you that when God speaks to us, we're just going to have to be persuaded that God's right and just be ready to face the repercussions, believing that the Lord will give us the wisdom and understanding and how to handle that also. You with me? But he's warning us to live by faith, not by works. Well, what are we doing? Faith hears God. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing God speak. Faith comes by hearing God speak. Then what do you do after you hear God speak? Obey. What good does it do just to hear God speak if you're not going to do what God says to do? You'll brag about it? No, you have to do what God says. But hearing comes first. Are you listening? Only you can answer that. You don't have to give an account to me. But how much time do you spend listening to God, looking, expecting God to speak? Every week, I expect God to speak to me what He wants delivered. And sometimes it looks like it's not going to happen. I've walked up here and sat down and not know what to do. But God has never failed me. Never. He just wants me to know that I can't depend on me. And He wants you to know that you can't depend on you. He wants us depending on Him. If you look at Romans, the 10th chapter, actually it starts with verse 13, Romans chapter 10, you probably heard it quoted or read, whatever, a lot. But anyway, it goes, starts out with, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he says, how then shall you call on him in whom you've not believed? And then how shall you believe in him of whom you haven't heard? And then how could you hear if somebody doesn't proclaim the message? And so then, faith requires a hearing first. Okay, we have to have something said to us in order to believe or to grasp something. And he goes on to say, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel or the glad tidings, the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. He said, but now listen to this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Because Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Have you ever read Isaiah 53:1? That's where he's quoting from. That's where he's getting this from. Lord, who has believed our report? He says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he says, not everybody that hears obeys. And that's the problem today. Either we're not hearing or we're not obeying what we hear. That's why things are in the mess they're in. That's why the churches are in such shape they're in. They're now gone to performance churches instead of churches where the power of God is manifested, where the power of God's demonstrated. We'd rather have entertainment than for the Spirit of God to just take the service and do what He wants to with the service. We want to put our emphasis on music, on arts, or whatever. Those things have their place if it's motivated by God. But if it's not motivated by God, it's a substitute, and it's actually counterproductive. It works against the church. And that's what's happened. This is not a place of entertainment. This is not a social club. This is God's place. God can do what He wants to anytime He wants to do it. He has an open invitation to do that. But He can't do it if we don't hear and obey. We have to hear. We have to obey. So, I said earlier, faith is persuasion. Are we persuaded? If you're not persuaded, then we're not going to act. And so what I read to you there in the 10th chapter of Romans is really a principle. You have to hear, but you can't hear if you don't get a message. God wants you to do His will. So do you think that He would withhold His will from you? People wear themselves out trying to figure out the will of God. And it is so simple. Do what you hear. That's the will of God for your life. Every day of your life, do what you hear. If you do what you hear, you will fulfill the will of God. And God's not going to give you some architectural drawing and some 50-page blueprint on what you're going to do with your life. The just live by faith. It's from faith to faith. We take it a day at a time. Give us today our daily bread, not give us this week, not give us this month or this year. It depend on me daily is what He said. But I have to hear Him on a daily basis. So it's extremely important that we emphasize hearing, then believing what we hear to the point that we'll actually go into action and do what we've heard. So faith is not just hearing, it's acting on what God has said. It's persuasion. Do you know everybody lives by faith in something? You're sitting in that chair because you believed that chair would hold you up. If you didn't think it would, you wouldn't have sat down. You're persuaded, right? God wants us persuaded in that anything He says, it's an impossibility for it not to come to pass. If we would get that convinced on the inside of us. So, if I am that persuaded, I'll go into action. I just have to get persuaded. And it's not almost persuaded. It's altogether persuaded. Faith rests in God's performance. I want you to think about that. It doesn't try to perform. It rests in God's performance. With this confidence, God will work with us, confirming His word with the signs following. If God says it and we act on it, God will confirm it. Do you follow me? We just have to be convinced of that. Performance demands labor that is never enough. You can't do enough because inside you, you'll say, well, I don't know if God was pleased or not. I need to do something else. I need to do something else. But if you hear and obey, you rest in it. Really, that's what the fourth chapter of Hebrews is all about. As a matter of fact, if you want to turn over there, let's just look at the first four verses. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. He says, Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now what He's doing is making a contrast here with the rest where God had made the promise to Moses that the nation of Israel would to lead them out of bondage into a land to where they wouldn't have to build houses, they wouldn't have to build crops, they were going to occupy homes already built, crops already planted. That's a rest, do you understand? If you're not having to work and do all these things, you're resting in what someone else has done. Do you see that? So this is the contrast. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Just remember, gospel being good news. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. God said, you're going into a promised land. They wouldn't believe it. They came right upon the brink of it. They wanted to send the spies in. They spent 40 days in there. They came back. Yep, what God said was right. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, but... And that's the problem we have today with the buts. We think we know more than God. God was right about this, but not about this. God said, I gave you the land. Would God give you something that you can't occupy? No. But that doesn't mean you don't have to put forth effort. They were responsible for driving the enemy out, but God said, I'll go before you. You follow my lead. You hear, I'll give you the battle strategy. Now, you'll find this with Joshua. How many of you would circle a wall 7 days to take a city? But that was God's battle strategy. You walk around this thing 7 days. The seventh day, walk around it 7 times. Blow the trumpet, the wall will fall. It took faith for Joshua to convince that the entire army, this is how we're going to take this city. You follow me? But God is good for His Word. Going back to Hebrews, it says, for we who have believed, do enter into rest. As He said, I've sworn in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the founding of the world. It was a finished work, but they wouldn't go into it because they didn't believe. Listen, salvation is a finished work, but how many people die and go to hell because they won't believe? It's not that the work's not done, but what am I going to do with what God has already done? It's not my performance, it's what Jesus Christ has done and my faith in that. Now, He goes on to say, for He spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. God worked, and then God rested in what He did. That's sufficient. I did what's sufficient, and now I'll rest the rest of the time. My Word is out there. The world is held together by my Word. Now, I don't think we understand what it means by God rested. God rested in what He had done. He's not trying to add to it. We want to add to what God does rather than just to believe what God does. Now, He goes on in there, and He starts talking about this rest. He said, if the rest was dealing with the nation of Israel going into the promised land, I'm paraphrasing, then there wouldn't be a need for another rest. Joshua led them into that rest, but even then they didn't do all that God told them to do. God said, drive out all the enemy, don't make a league with them. But they didn't obey God. And what happened? It came back and haunted them. And when we don't fully obey God, it comes back and haunts us. You understand? And so, God wants us to hear and obey. That's called faith. That's what pleases God. Get your mind off of performance. Get your mind on being convinced that what God's done's enough. And if I'll do what God says, that will be enough also. Amen? Now, we could go on. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go on with some things. I believe we've got some instruction here. We're going to look at faith and works in perspective and draw from James. There's so much to this. But I feel like what the Lord wanted me to do this morning was to get the message out. You want to please me? Faith. That's the only way you'll ever please me. Faith. So get your mind off of performing. Get your mind on hearing, because that's how faith comes. Amen?